Before we start with the just the main topic for today, it's going to be a short shiur, but before we start with the main topic, just a couple of Rashi's I want to highlight in terms of the Gemara's that we learned, which to me are just interesting and certainly worthwhile investigating. Rashi on Kuflam and Beis Amud Beis, so Rashi is discussing the 22-year Cherem. The community was not giving, the Kohanim in that community were not being mafresh matanos, and so the members of this community were subject to a Cherem, right? Rav Chista notes that these Kohanim were not being mafresh, and so therefore they were in Shamta for 22 years. Shamta is a form of Cherem. Gemara in the third parak of Moed Katan goes through all the various halachas about being put in Cherem. And for 22 years, the Gemara wants to know what's the significance of 22 years. So the Gemara says, well, maybe after 22 years, they're just not getting the point, so therefore we should lift the Cherem. And the Gemara says, no, that's by a los ase, but by a mitzvah sase, by a positive commandment. So you keep going, you continue with the Cherem. To that, the Gemara said, well, for the after 22 years, we're going to start really not just putting them in Cherem, but we're going to start confiscating their possessions because they're not being mafresh shumas amaisos. So if you look at Rashi over there, it's a really interesting Rashi, one which is, I don't have shot in the Rashi. Rashi over there says that by a mitzvah lo sa'aseh, so we wouldn't say this, meaning by a mitzvah lo sa'aseh, we would stop the Cherem. If you look at Rashi, Rashi writes, mitzvah lo sa'aseh, diisbe misa okaris, dekamle b'derabim minei. Even the beginning of Rashi is really difficult to understand. The Gemara is talking about a regular lav, presumably, a lo sa'aseh, and Rashi says, well, you know there's misa and you know there's karis, meaning misa and karis are limited to only some of the lavim in the Torah. Karis is only limited to 34 lavim in the Torah. The first mission, Krisus, goes over the 34 lavim in the Torah that's subject to Krisus, so it's only 34 of the lavim. And Misa, Rashi either here is talking about Misa B'de'ad or Misa B'de'ad Shemayim, but still, it's a handful of Averis that have with it Misa's Beis Din. So, and Lechora, that's not the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about just a regular Lo Sa'aseh. And then Rashi says, and why would we stop the Cherem? We would stop the Cherem because Kamle B'de'arabim Minei. It's an unusual application of the rule of Kimlei. Kimlei doesn't normally refer to a Cherem. Kimlei obviously refers to when there's two Onshim. You give the more Chamer of the two Onshim. So it's a little bit difficult to understand how Rashi is using that idea in order to explain the principle of we're going to be stopping a Cherem. That's one Rashi which I looked around. I didn't see anyone say anything in the Rashi, but certainly an interesting Rashi. The other Rashi, which you probably noted and is certainly of interest, is the Gemara in Kuf Lamed Gimel, where there the Gemara notes that almost all year, so Rava would make it a point. Abai would make it a point not to take the Matnas Kahuna. He felt that it was just not manners, and he cited a number of sources that you shouldn't grab it, you shouldn't even ask for it, even if they offer it to you. He says you shouldn't take it. In other words, it's B'derech Tznius, one shouldn't take it. And then the Gemara says, okay, so what Abai would do one time a year is that he would take it on Erev Yom Kippur, where there's a mitzvah to eat, and there's a mitzvah to eat meat. So he would take the matanos on that point in time. Why would he do it that one time of the year? So the Gemara says, L'achzuke nafshe b'kahanim, so people know that he's a Kohen. Right? Abai and Rava were both Kohanim. All right? Rashi also says that, by the way, on Kuf Lamed Gimel, a little bit later on in the Amud, that he was a Kohen, so therefore Abai and Rava wanted to make sure, this is specific to Abaye, wanted to make sure that people knew that he was a Kohen, so therefore one time a year, he would take the matana so that people would know that he's a Kohen. The Gemara's question of Lifros Yadeh, so why isn't he Duchen? Meaning, right, Duchening is a mitzvah every single day, why isn't he Duchen? So Anselei Idne. So the Gemara gives a very cryptic answer, Anselei Idne. So if you look at the riff over there on the Gemara, on this Gemara, right in the back, so, and he quotes on the side of the Gemara, Anselei Idne, he was an onis, he was a choli b'meyav. So he had stomach issues, and he just, he did not have the ability to maintain proper hygiene so that he'd be able to do birchos kohanim. That's the way the riff says it. The Rashi, it's a really interesting Rashi, and one that also requires better understanding. So Rashi says that what he would do is he would make a shir for his talmidim, and he would make a shir for his talmidim, and so therefore it prevented him from doing the nesias kapayim. Right, Rashi writes, so at the time when people were getting together in shul for davening, so he would have shir. So, right, the obvious issue with Rashi is he would do that every single day, and he would miss duchening every single day, and when you'd be allowed to do that, meaning you're allowed to make shir while people are duchening. So obviously it's a really interesting Rashi, and one that also requires much more clarification. Just to highlight a couple of Rashis in terms of the Gemara. One thing that I'm going to be spending the rest of this afternoon detailing is the Top Rashi. Top Rashi in Kuflam Gimel Amid Aleph. So the Gemara goes through 15 avodas, right? A lot of lists, by the way, in these Gemaras, right? On the bottom of Kuflam and Beis Amid Beis, the Gemara goes through the list of 15 avodas. Cohen, in order for him to be eligible to the Matnas Kuna, so he has to be Modeh. He has to acknowledge that these are avodas. These are not avodas where, to quote the Rashi on the bottom of the Amud, right? Moshe Bada Ben Libo. Moshe Rabbeinu was just being creative. He made up these avodas. And if a Cohen feels that way about any one of the avodas, so at that point in time, that's it. He loses his eligibility to receive Matnas Kahuna, any of the Matanas. So he has to be a mom, and he has to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put these avodas together, and these avodas are divinely based, and they're not based on any kind of man-made activity. So the Gemara goes to the list of the 15 avodas. On Kuflam and Gimel and Beis, we're also treated to another list, where the list is of all 24 Matnas Kahuna. In the meantime, however, Rashi notes that if you go through all 15 avodas, so you'll be familiar then with all the avodas that are done in the Beis HaMikdash, with the exception to one of the avodas that are not mentioned in the list. If you look at Rashi on the top of Kuflam and Gimel and Aleph, so Rashi writes over there, Hazaos, so he's Rikas Adam and Nizrakim and Mizbech, Beinan Nitazim Befneim Al Parochas, Al Mizbech Hazav, Beinan Nitazim Bechutz. So when the Mishnah is making, the Brisa is making a reference to Hazah, it's talking about the sprinkling of the blood, which was one of the avodas as it relates to the dam. And and Rashi says, notably absent, conspicuously absent from this whole list is Shechita. Now Shechita, right, and even if you just have a basic knowledge of Karbanos, so you know that Shechita is critical. Meaning that when you have a Karban, so what you do is you bring the Karban into the Azara, you Shech the Karban, you Mekabel the dam. You're molech the dam, you bring the blood over to the Mizbeach, and huzzah, and you sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. You can't do the avoda without Shechita. So of all the things to not mention over here as one of the 15 avodas, so Shechita is not mentioned. So Rashi writes over here, Shechita lo kachashiv, shaf hazar kasher ba. So Rashi says that Shechita is not mentioned because a non-Kohen can do Shechita. So what Rashi is making reference to is the following. We know that when it comes to the avoda can only be done by a Kohen. Any avoda that's done by a non-Kohen is an avoda psula. Second parak of Zvachim goes through the details of these halachas, but it's very simple. It's very pashut that you have to be a kohen in order to be a bar avoda. A zar that does avoda is pasul. Period. However, the notable exception to that is shechita. Shechita can be done by a non kohen. So you can be if you know how to shecht and you want to shecht your own karban, so by all means you have the right to do so. And so you could shecht your own karban. A notable exception to this is on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, only the Kohen Gadol can do the Shechita. Kohen Gadol has to do all the avodas on Yom Kippur, and so the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing the Shechita, but that's a notable exception. Other than that, so a Shechita can be done by a non-Kohen. Fine. So that is the Rashi over here. Rashi is consistent. Rashi says this pshat throughout Shas. So if you take a look at the Marmakomos I gave you, so you could see I didn't quote the Rashi in Zvachim, but if you take a look at the Gemara in Zvachim Yadav, it's on the second page. If you take a look at the Rashi over there, so Amalei Abayev Ashkita Davod Shiev Shalavatla. Without going through the Shakla Vatari of the Gemara over there, Abayev is bothered because Shkita is something which is essential. You can't do without Shkita. Ukshera Bizar. So a non-Kohen could do the Shkita. How does that work? So Amalei. So the response is Shkita Lav Avodihi. So Shkita is not an avoda. It doesn't qualify as a formal avoda, and so therefore it can be done by a zar. Okay, so so what I want to explore a little bit this afternoon is the following. This idea that shechita is lav avoda is a really interesting idea that's not considered an avoda, and why is it not considered an avoda? So hold that thought for just a moment. I'm going to come back to that momentarily. We're going to take a look at the Tosfos and Zvachim. Tosfos is going to offer three pshatim. We're going to go through the three pshatim of Tosfos. But before we do that, so a little bit of background over here. If you're going to eat an animal, you have to shecht an animal. Right? I think we're all familiar. Right? We're learning chulin right now. The first two parakim of chulin are dedicated to the topic of shechita. And so we know that in order to matir the basar behema, so you have to shecht the animal. I think everyone here knows that. I don't think I reported anything new. If I ask you the question, where exactly is the Torah mitzvah, the mitzvah of Shechita? Where do we find actual Shechita in the Torah? Like, Shechita min haTorah minalan. Like, where is Shechita come up in the Torah? The answer is, it doesn't come up in the Torah. Meaning, there's nowhere clearly in the Torah where the Torah articulates Shechita. Now, certainly all the halachas of Shechita, that clearly is not in the Torah. That part's clear. There are five psulei Shechita. The Gemara in the Chulin, the beginning of Chulin, goes through all the psulei Shechita. That clearly is not part of Torah Shebechsav. That clearly is part of Torah Shebaal Peh. But how about the actual mitzvah itself? The mitzvah itself of Shechita. Like, where is that beferish in the Torah? So, there is nowhere clearly stating that there's a mitzvah of Shechita. Closest thing you're going to get to a reference to Shechita, or the mitzvah of Shechita, is back in the Pesukim in Parshas Re'eh. Now, this is where, last week, when we talked about Psulei HaMukdashim, this is the same Pesukim, the same series of Pesukim that we talked about in terms of Psulei HaMukdashim. If you take a look at Pasuk Tesvav, this goes back to last week. Okay, so that should already ring familiar, because that's where the Gemara darshins out Psulei HaMukdashim. Okay, but let's go a little bit further in the Psukim. Where in the Psukim do we have any reference, any mention whatsoever to Shechita? So if you take a look weiter in the Psukim, you look in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Ki yirchak mimcha makom asher yivcha Hashem lekecha lasum shmo sham. So what's going to happen is that you're going to live in there, you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to live far from the Beis HaMikdash. So what are you going to do? So the pasuk says, "V'zavachta mi b'karcha mitzoncha, asher nasan Hashem lecha." So what you're going to do is you're going to shecht from your animals, ka'asher tzivisicha, just like I commanded you. V'achalta b'sharecha b'chol avas nafshecha, and you're going to eat in your gates as much as you'd like. And this is the pasuk that obviously speaks to basataiva. Meaning that the Torah now gives us an allowance where we're allowed to bring an animal, and we don't have to bring it as a karban, and we can shecht it. And the pasuk over there says, "Kasher tzivisicha, like I commanded you." So you take a look at Rashi, and it's—I quote the Rashi over here. It's on the first page of the Sorshi. You take a look at Rashi, you take a look at the Gemara and Chulin, you take a look at the Rambam, and they all say the same thing. Where, when the pasuk says, "Kasher tzivisicha, like I commanded you," what is that making reference to? I'll read in the Rashi, but it's the Gemara and Chulin. It's the Rambam as well. L'manu sheyesh sivui bezvicha, heich yishchot, vein halacha shechita shenemar l'moshe b'sinai. So, Rashi writes over here, that's part of halacha Moshe b'sinai. So, the Rashi, the Gemara, the Rambam, I know, what's it called? I got the order wrong, historically, but you get the basic idea. So, they all speak to this idea that it's part of halacha Moshe b'sinai, this idea of shechita. And when the pasuk says, kasher tzivisicha, the pasuk is making reference to the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. That's the, what you would say, the classic pshat, in terms of where the mitzvah of shechita comes from. It's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that we have to shecht. That's the ka'asher tzivisicha. However, I'm going to share with you this afternoon a really interesting Ramban. Ramban on Chumash. It's on the second page. The Ramban on Chumash gives a very original pshat in the pesukim. Super original. And he writes as follows, V'tam v'zavachta kasher tzivisicha, it's the Ramban right on that pasuk, Adas Rabbe Seinu kasher tzivisicha al-peh mehalach l'moshe m'sinai. Malam eshin sava moshe ala veshav ala kanav al rov echa bof al rov shnayim bebehema. So we have halach l'moshe m'sinai, right? He quotes the Gemara in Chulin, that you have to shech kanav veshav, okay? If you have no familiarity with shechita, that's the basics of shechita. You have to go through both pipes, right? Running down the neck, you have two pipes. You can feel your trachea as you're touching the front of your neck. That's the kanav. Behind it is the esophagus. That's what needs to be cut for shechita. When it comes to a bird, you only have to shecht one of the simanim, one of the pipes. When it comes to an animal, you have to shecht both pipes. The basics of shechita. It's halach l'moshe misina. Vida ki shechita b'lashon hakodesh hu hakaris simanim atzavar. Now the word shechita, that's the cutting of the simanim. Ve'al tachosh b'avur shamar v'shechetim b'midbar ki melitza. And yeah, you're going to see the word shechita used in terms of shechting people, but that's just an expression. Shezavach osam kitzon. But it's just borrowed language, says the Ramban. Now, where do we find the word shechita being used in the Torah? So the Ramban says we have it by karbanos. By karbanos, all the time the Torah says that you're going to shecht. And so the Ramban writes as follows: that originally, if anyone wanted to eat meat, right? Tonight there's meat for dinner. I spoke to the cook; it's confirmed. Meatballs. Okay. Me and the cook are I'd say old friends. He's a Talmud of mine. So anyway, so good. So originally, writes the Ramban, if you wanted to eat meat, so it had to come in the form of shlamim. Veim shochtin kemishpat karbanos, and shechted like a karban. The ata kishabala hatir basar achulin. Amar v'zavachta me bekarchem etzoncha kasher tzivisicham. Kasher tzivisicha. And so now, here's Ramban's pshat in the pasuk. It is an unbelievably original pshat. It's a Ramban. He says, when the Torah says kasher tzivisicha, what the Torah means is like this. Originally, you wanted to eat meat, it had to come in the form of a karban. And there the Torah is beferish, yishecht. And then, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, you're living far away from the base of Mikdash, and you want to eat meat, so you're going to shecht it. How are you going to shecht it? Just like you shechted karbanos. V'yosam karbanos. V'tochalosam chulim b'chol tavas nafshecha. Lomer shi'yatireim chulim b'chol makam avashi yuzvuchim kasher tziva mitchila b'yosam kulam karbanos. Meaning that what the pasuk says, kasher tivisicha, it means, just like I commanded you to shech karbanos, and there the Torah is beferish, where the Torah uses the words vishachat. So just like that now becomes the model of shechita, so from that point going forward, now I'm giving a new heter. And the new heter is that you're allowed to eat basar chulim, but you have to shecht it. The Torah doesn't say the word shech, but the Torah says kasher tivisicha. Meaning just like the original mitzvah was to shech karbanos, now you're going to have an ability to shech chulim, using the same method of shechting karbanos. And the Ramban says, I think that's pshat. I think that's simple pshat in the psukim. In fact, that's why I quoted all these psukim. In other words, what do I need to quote all these psukim in Parshas Re'eh? If you read through the psukim from the beginning, I quoted from Pasuk Hay, all the way to Pasuk Chav Beis, Mamsh, you'll see it, like in the pasuk, the trajectory of we started with karbanos, and now we move to chulin. And when the pasuk says kasher tzivisicha, it means you shechted like you shechted karbanos. Okay, that's the Ramban on Chumash. It's a really interesting Ramban. Okay, that's all background, basic background. Now, let's go back to our discussion. We said, Rashi over here in our Gemara said, that Shechita is not an avoda. So why is Shechita not considered an avoda? So if you take a look at Tosfos and Zvachim, so he presents three pshatim. Pshat number one, Shechita lav avodahi, perish bekuntrus, midi iskashru ba, kol hapsulim. I'm sorry, before we get to the next line of the Tosos. So he quotes Rashi. Rashi says, how do I know it's not an avoda? Because a non-Kohen can do shechita of a karban. That's Rashi. Tosos says, it's very difficult. Meaning, we are giving definition to why shechita is not an avoda. We're using the argument of, it can be done by a non-Kohen. Now, if I asked you the question, why can a non-Kohen do shechita? What's your answer going to be to me? Right. Because it's not an avoda. And so what happens now with Rashi is that we go into a loop. Meaning, question, why shechita not an avoda? Because a non-Kohen could do it. Why can a non-Kohen shecht? Because it's not an avoda. And so from Rashi now, we end up in a cycle where one question is answering the other question. But where's the beginning and where's the end? And Tosfos says, "V'e efshar lomar kein da'hechshar zar gufei ma'isila hacha," meaning that's exactly why a zar can shecht it, because it's not an avoda. So for Rashi now, Tosfos is bothered. How is this answering the question of shechita lav avoda? Because a zar could do it. Okay, good. Why can a zar do it? Oh, because it's not an avoda. It's difficult. Tosfos says it's difficult. Okay. Tosfos tries to give a pshat in the Rashi based on the Gemara Menachos. Anyway, it's difficult. It's a difficult Rashi. Tosfos then gives a second pshat. A Rav Yaakov d'Orleans. Mefarish lav avodihi lefi sheshava bechulin uvekachim. So Rav Yaakov d'Orleans gives a second pshat in terms of why shechita is not an avoda. He says, do you know why shechita is not an avoda? Because the act of shechita is not limited to karbanos. The act of shechita could be done by karbanos. It could also be done by chulin as well. Im kein la mitam avod tziva hamakom shechita. And so shechita is not a function of the avoda as it could be done by chulin. That's Rav Yaakov Meorleans in terms of a second pshat. Velini ralav avodihi, and then Tosfos himself gives his own pshat, meaning whoever the Balei HaTosfos is putting this Tosfos together says, I'd like to offer now a third possible shot. Pshat midemachshirin lekamet v'erksheni omei bedarim v'hushi yadol tzafon. Very technical answer. I'll explain it very quickly, very briefly. Basically, when you're doing the avoda, you have to be in the azara. You cannot stand outside the azara and do the avoda. Meanwhile, the Gemara says in Menachos, sorry, in Zvachim, the Gemara says in Zvachim that for the Shochet, he could stand outside the Azara, knife now in the Azara, animal in the Azara, and he could do Shechita, even though he's standing outside the Azara. Haraya, that it's not an Avoda. A third possible source in terms of how we know that Shechita is not an Avoda. That's the third suggestion of one of the Balei HaTosfos. I want to go back to the middle suggestion of Tosfos, which is that the reason why Shechita is Lav Avoda, so Rav Yaakov Mirolin says, because we find it both by Karbonis and we find it by Chulin. Okay. And now, just as a simple observation, this is literally the opposite of the Ramban. Meaning, if I ask the Ramban, from where do we know the entire concept of Shechita? Where is the mitzvah of Shechita generated from? The Ramban would say, what do you mean? The mitzvah of Shechita is generated from Karbonos. The original mitzvah of Shechita is by Karbonos. And what happened was is that Shechita then got extended to Chulin. But that's just an extension of Karbon. The mitzvah Mefureshes in the Torah is by Karbonos. And then it gets extended to Chulin, and so, and Achinami. So now you could do Shechita by Chulin. Rav Yaakov Meir Orleans is saying the exact opposite. He's saying, how do I know that Shechita is not an Avoda? Well, we find Shechita by Chulin, and so you see that it's a non-carbon activity. It's a non-avoda activity because it's not limited to carbon. We have it by chulin, and since we have it by chulin, so it's therefore not carbon related. In fact, the lashon of Rav Yaakov Mirolin, to go back to the Tosfos, so lefisha shava bechulin v'kashim inkein lav mitam avoda siva hamakum shchita. It's not because the Kadosh Baruch Hu told us to shech by carbonos. It's that shchita exists independent of carbonos. You have it by chulin. Mamish, the Rav Yaakov Mirolin is like literally the opposite of what the Ramban is suggesting. Ramban is saying that Shechita is rooted in the Avoda, and the Torah give now an extension of that to chulin. So it's really interesting that Rav Yaakov Mirolin is looking at it just the opposite of the way the Ramban is looking at it. Okay, I'll make one other point. We'll make one more point. The Prima Gadim, it's on the last page of the source sheet. The Prima Gadim asks a wonderful question. In order to appreciate the question of the Prima Gadim, so let's take a look at the Torah together. The Torah writes about the following when it comes to the mitzvah of Arla. Arla, tree, after you plant it, so for the first 3 years after you plant it, so you're not allowed to enjoy any of the fruit that the tree produces. That fruit has a din of Arla. It's Aser. Aser Bachila, Aser Bana. Good. How about Arla's Chutz La'aretz? Does Arla apply outside of Eretz Yisrael? So the answer is yes, it does. So just 5 short years ago, I planted my first fruit tree. And 5 years later, it has not produced a single fruit. Okay, I have issues. I don't know what's going on. And by the way, just if I can just share with you, right? This will be therapy for me. I took the tree from a fruit producing tree. So like it's, I have no idea why it's not producing fruit. The problem must be me. But anyway, but for the first 3 years you're not allowed to enjoy the fruit. It's a halacha of Arlas Chutzaretz. Take a look at the tour where he writes Arla noig b'chol makom uv'chol zman bein shal nachri bein shal Yisrael elo shebe'aretz Yisrael hu min haTorah. When it comes to Arla and Eretz Yisrael, so that's a halacha min haTorah. It's mefureshes b'psukim. However, v'chutz la'aretz halacha l'moshe misinai. Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael, that falls under the category of halacha l'moshe misinai. Therefore, listen to the lashon haTor. Hilkach v'Eretz Yisrael sveika asar. When you have a safek, you go to the store and you're buying a fruit, and I don't know whether it comes from the tree of the first 3 years or after the first 3 years, and it's a safek. So what do we say by Safek Daraisa? Safek Daraisa L'chumra. However, Uvechutz La'aretz Sveika Mutter. But since Arlas Chutz La'aretz is a Halacha Moshe Misinai and not Halacha Mefureshes B'Torah, so even though Halacha Moshe Misinai is obviously an Issur Daraisa, however, by Safek of Halacha Moshe Misinai, so the Torah says you're allowed to be Mekel. Which, by the way, that's of course what we all do. When we go to the fruit store, we never question, right? Is this fruit Arla fruit or not Arla fruit? It's a suffix, and you can be makel and it's mutter. So now, let's think this through. If I asked you, if we had a suffix by shechita, whether the shechita was a good shechita or not shechita, do you think we're going to be mekel or do you think we're going to be machmer? The halacha. What do you think in terms of a shechita that was has any kind of suffix whatsoever? Would we be eating the animal of a shechita that is questionable? What do you think the halacha would be? No. The halacha, of course, will be machmir. So now, the Prima Gadim asks a wonderful question. He says, why are we going to be machmir if I go like the Gemara in Chulin, and like the Rashi, and like the Rambam? So the halachas of shechita are generated from where? It's halach l'moshe m'sinai. So if the halachas of shechita are halach l'moshe m'sinai, so then why wouldn't we be mekel? Meaning, didn't we learn as the yesod that halach l'moshe m'sinai, when you have a suffix by halach l'moshe m'sinai, you can be mekel? We do so by arla, so why aren't we going to be mekel over here? Prima Gadim asked that question, the Prima Gadim gives an answer. So to say it outside, you can see it here, I quote the Prima Gadim inside. So the Prima Gadim, it's in this psicha to hilcha shechita. It's like one of those like you know, it's you know there's an answer to the question. The question can't just simply be left suspended. So he gives an answer. He says that there are two different types of halacha moshe m'sinai. A halacha moshe m'sinai where if the Torah wouldn't have said anything, we simply would not have known, versus halacha moshe m'sinai, which is there to give clarity to the psukim in the Torah. Right? Vani avrezer, he writes at the end. So mikama kamzel halacha moshe m'sinai shalom bala farish eza pasuk b'torah. Masha enkin kan. De kabala bala farish malo azvicha amur b'torah. Okay, so he talks about different types of halacha moshe m'sinai. I'd like to suggest, I didn't see anyone say this, so but it does work, and it's something worth considering, that if I go back to the Ramban, I have an answer. Meaning, what did the Ramban say? That the halachas of shechita are mufureshes b'Torah. The halachas of shechita, according to the Ramban, are yesod based on the halachas of shechitas hakarban. The fact that we're allowed to shechulin, that's an extension of shechitas hakarban. But shechitas hakarban, the Ramban writes, that's mefarish b'Torah. And the fact that we shechulin, that's just simply an extension of that. But mi'ikaron, it is mefarishes b'Torah. So as to the question of the Prima Gadim, why don't we just simply say that we should be meko by shechita? So one can make the argument, meaning, obviously you go with the Prima Gadim's answer, but as an additional suggestion, an additional answer, you can go back to the idea that the shechita is beferish kasev b'Torah, and so it is not halacha l'moshe m'sinai, but rather it's a halacha which is kasev b'Torah. And so therefore, the conclusion would be, we'd be machmir, even by a suffix of shechita. So that could be another suggestion in terms of the question of the Prima Gadim. So again, our Gemara, just recap. Our Gemara lists the 15 avodas. Shechita is not mentioned. The reason why shechita is not mentioned, so Rashi writes over here by us, Sha'af azar kasherba, that a zar can do it. What Rashi over here is intimating is the idea that because a non-Kohen can do it, therefore it's non-avoda. And that's consistent with the Rashi back in Zvachim, which I quoted, where Rashi uses the idea that shechita is non-avoda because a zar can do it. The difficulty of Rashi, it's a circular reasoning. One halacha is explaining the other halacha. And then the two other suggestions in Tosfos in terms of why shechita is not considered avoda, either because it's not limited to shechita, it also applies, I'm sorry, it's not limited to karbanos, it also applies by chulin, Rav Yaakov Mirolins. The Baalei HaTosfos talks about where the Kohen is standing, or anyone standing when they do the shechita. You don't have to stand in the azara when you do the shechita, emblematic of the idea that shechita is not an avoda. So three possibilities within Tosfos. But I highlight now that Rav Yaakov Mirolins is literally the opposite of the Ramban. The Ramban, Rav Yaakov Mirolins, says that shechita is not limited to karbanos. It's by chulin, it's by karbanos, it's not necessarily a avod activity. The Ramban, in his Perush on Chumash, so he says a beautiful pshat. He says no. He says that shechita is rooted in karbanos. In fact, that's the entire origination of shechita, is by karbanos. And what the Torah says, kasher tzivisicha, it's just extending that to chulin. So for the Ramban, it's literally the opposite of Rav Yaakov Merlin's. As far as the Ramban is concerned, in terms of a shechita is not a voda, so I don't want to guess, meaning I'm sure he addresses it. I happen not to know what he says regarding why shechita is not a voda, but he can go with two other pshatim and tosfos in terms of why it's not a voda. But in terms of now what to do with this Ramban, so I offer this Ramban up as another suggestion to the question of why aren't we mekel? Meaning if there's a suffix by shechita, and if shechita is halacha moshe m'sinai, so we should be mekel in principle, like we're mekel by other halacha moshe m'sinai, notably Arla. And so the Prima Gadim gives an answer, and I'm suggesting another answer, that according to the Ramban, it has to do with the fact that it is Mefureshes B'Torah, as Shechita is rooted in Shechita's carbon.